let me in. Shiba shiba, I wanna be closer to you. Shiba shiba, open up your soul. Shiba shiba, let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. 'Tis the holiday season and there's lots to enjoy because we have loads and loads of talented people who live to entertain you and put a smile on your face. And the holidays can be torturous, but with the right talent in front of you, the torture will go away and all you'll have is joy. One of those people who likes to put joy on your face is an artistic director for Circus Bella, and they have a new holiday tradition called Kaleidoscope. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome artistic director and performer Abigail Munn. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just great.
So great. Before we get into the actual show, give us a little bit of background about Circus Bella.
So Circus Bella, we were founded. I'm one of the co-founders of the company, mm-hmm. and we were founded in 2008 with the mission of bringing beautiful, joyous circus experiences for the Bay Area and beyond. Since our beginning, we've always do this series of free shows in parks and open spaces throughout the Bay Area in June and July. Mm-hmm. And then starting 2018, but then we took a little break and we got back on it last year. Uh-huh. We, in the winter, we do a holiday circus spectacular in a big top tent.
Ooh, now what does a holiday circus spectacular look like for a circus?
So we have a beautiful tent set up. At the crossing at the East Cut, which is close to the Embarcadero mm-hmm. in San Francisco. And so you go into this really special, beautiful venue, very unique venue. Mm-hmm. And then we have clowns and acrobats and a live band and a 90-minute beautiful costume. It's the most sparkly costumes you can imagine. And we have a 90-minute spectacular for you to enjoy.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I think I saw the spectacular last year, mm-hmm. and we've had this conversation before where every time I see jugglers and balancers and things like that, I'm just so stressed out in the audience because I'm so worried for them, but you somehow managed to put my mind at ease. So for our listening audience who is also slightly stressed out, worried about the performers, what can you tell them to put their minds at ease?
Oh, our performers are trained professionals. They practice hours and hours and hours and hours a day so that they're confident in the skills they're presenting. There's that thing that we call it's show ready. So you don't put something in the stage until you can do it a bazillion times on your own. And then on top of that, we always safety check all rigging. Everyone has warmed up and checked mm-hmm. everything in a slow, calm, non-audience setting
okay.
ahead of the show. So okay. We have lots of precautions in place. And when we need it, we have mats and spotters and all the other things just to make sure that everybody is safe and well cared for the whole run.
Very good. Very good. Now, I know that children, when they see the circus, they sometimes are inspired to become circus performers themselves. Do you have any people in your team that, you know, were once children who aspired to the circus?
I can tell you it, my personal story. So I grew up in San Francisco. I grew up going to the Pickle Family Circus.
Uh-huh.
I very much remember the moment I went and saw the trapeze artist, Wendy Parkman, up on the trapeze. And I said, this is what I want to do. So and then I enrolled in some circus classes starting when I was in third grade, and then just continued on this journey. And although I'm no longer on the trapeze, I've graduated to ringmaster of the show.
So when you got this passion, did your parents, were your parents thinking that you would grow out of it, or did they think, oh, she's a single-minded, this is going to happen?
Well, I've always been a very single-minded person, but I still think there was a moment that they would have hoped that. Now my parents, or my father is watching from above, and my mother will be helping out with the box office, so they're mm-hmm. completely supportive of the and excited about the endeavor. But I think there probably was a moment when they said I grew up in the arts. I came from an artistic family, so they knew that once you catch the bug, it's pretty hard to do anything else.
All right, well then talk about some of the acts that we'll be seeing at Kaleidoscope. And why is it called Kaleidoscope?
So what I see this show, although it doesn't have a particular narrative, mm-hmm. We're going to take you on a journey of many colors, textures, emotions, and feelings that kind of twist and turn around. The show is also in the round, so it's in the circle. So that's why I also feel like we're kind of in this. And also when you see all the bright, sparkly costumes, we're kind mm-hmm. of in this. It'll be a kaleidoscopic experience for the audience.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what are some of the acts we're going to see?
Right. I'm glad you said that. I was like, and I don't remember the other question. So we have contortionists. We have clowns. We have two aerialists, Veronica Blair and Dora Galilea. Mm-hmm. This year we're featuring a new act to Circus Bella. Esther de Monteflores, and she is on a slack rope, so it's a loose rope, and she uh-huh. does all sorts of tricks and dances on this rope. And then we also are featuring Garrett Allen, and he this is for the nail-biting act of the show. He's going to stack a big tower of chairs.
Ooh.
And perform on this big stack of chairs. The act is called A Chair Stack, which is not the most... the name does not reflect the excitement of the act.
Oh no, I've seen chair acts, and biting my nails, like, oh my god, they're going to fall! I can't watch. So, I have to watch, but I can't.
Yeah, well, and I think there is. I mean, that's one of the things I think that's really magical about the circus is that we take you through all these emotions. So you're going to laugh, or I will speak for you, but the goal is that you laugh. That we have some more poignant kind of emotional moments, mm-hmm. Some very beautiful moments, and then some, oh my goodness, scary moments. So we're going to take you on this emotional journey.
Very good. Very good. So it's a kid friendly show. Yes.
Yeah. We say children of all ages. So okay. It's kids, adults. I think that's one of the also magical things about the circus is it's such a, universal art form, and that I think everyone's going to find something in the show that they can relate to. Or it's my hope that mm-hmm. everyone can find something in the show that they can relate to.
Now, for those people who bring their kids and their kids get bitten by the bug, what do you tell the parents of those kids? Like, how can they scratch that itch, that circus itch for their children?
Oh, first I'll say it's okay. there's no better place and no better community than that of the circus. Mm-hmm. And then there are a number of really amazing circus schools in the Bay Area where people can take classes. And I always have my email list that I send out to the parents when they need to send their when their kid has the bug and can't stop jumping off the furniture.
So when and where for the show?
So the show, we're at the Crossing at the East Cut, which is at Howard and Beale Street, mm-hmm. close to the Embarcadero in San Francisco. We run December 13th through January 5th. And you can look up our schedule online and also buy tickets online at www.circusbella.org.
Okay. And so, and tell me again, how long does the, like, when does it start? When does the show, how many days can
right.
we see this?
So the show runs, every day is a little bit different. We're running weekends from weekends and some weekdays once this holiday season begins, December 13th through January 5th.
Oh, okay. So we've got plenty of time to go see it, and you could see it more than once if you want it. Oh, very
good.
You can
see it more than once, yeah.
All right. And then after the holiday season, what's next on the agenda for Circus Bella?
Next on the agenda is we have a couple of new programming starting in February that I can't quite announce yet, but
okay.
We have some things in the pressure cooker working, and then we will come back into the parks in June and July for our free series.
Okay. And if people wanted to find out more, not just about your upcoming events, but any like classes or anything like that, or how would they go about doing that?
Everything about Circus Bella is on circusbella.org, and then I can list off names. There's many different circus schools in the Bay Area. There's Kinetic Arts Center in Oakland, which is where we rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Acro Sports and the Circus Center, which are in San Francisco, and then there's also Athletic Playground.
Excellent. Well, Abigail Munn, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I just love KPOO. I listen to you all on my drive to and from the circus in the mornings.
That's sweet.
And I just love, you're such a wonderful supporter of what we're all doing here.
Well, we try. It is community radio, and you're part of the community. So thank you once again for being on the show.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, people of Earth, this is your opportunity. Grab everybody to take them to Circus Bella. It's called Kaleidoscope, a new holiday tradition. And Edith Piaf, she knew what the holiday tradition was about. She understood circuses and clowns. In fact, she said, "Bravo pour le clown."
Un clown est mon ami, un clown bien ridicule, et dont le nom s'écrit en gifle majuscule. Pas beau pour un empire, plus triste qu'un chapeau. Il boit d'énormes rires et mange des bravos. Pour ton nez qui s'allume, bravo, bravo. Tes cheveux que l'on plume, bravo, bravo. Tu croques des assiettes assis sur un jet d'eau. Tu ronges des paillettes tordues dans un tonneau. Pour ton nez qui s'allume, bravo, bravo. Tes cheveux que l'on plume, bravo, bravo. Aux grandes mains s'accroche à ses oreilles, lui vole ses chagrins et vide ses bouteilles. Son cœur qui se dévisse ne peut les attrister. C'est là qu'ils applaudissent la vie qu'il a ratée. Pour ta femme infidèle, bravo, bravo. Et tu fais la vaisselle, bravo, bravo. Ta vie est un reproche qui claque dans ton dos. Ton fils te fait les poches et toi tu fais l'idiot. Pour ta femme infidèle, bravo, bravo. Et tu fais la vaisselle, bravo. Le cirque est déserté, le rire est inutile. Mon clown est enfermé dans un certain asile. Succès de camisole, bravo de cabanon. Des mains devenues folles lui battent leur chanson. Je suis roi et je règne, bravo, bravo. J'ai des rires qui saignent, bravo, bravo. Venez que l'on m'acclame, j'ai fait mon numéro, tout en jetant ma femme du haut du chapiteau. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Yes, my friends, that was Edith Piaf and Bravo pour le clown or le clone or however they say it in French, because no matter how you say it, it's entertaining. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, you know, the San Francisco Mime Troupe, the Tony Award-winning group. They've been around forever, thrilling you and chilling you. And there are people here who do the troupe thing and do the costumes as well. I mean, they do everything. You guys do everything. I would like to welcome my next guest, who is an actor and a costume designer for the new show, A Red Carrot. I'd like to allow you to introduce yourself, because people don't expect mimes to talk. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Hi. Thank you so much for that intro. My name is Keiko Shimosato Carrero, and in fact, the San Francisco Mime Troupe is very vocal. We are a musical political theater company, and we do mime in the, the oldest definition is mime being a representation of life in story, song, and dance. So we do that. We are not silent. We don't do pantomime in whiteface with gloves. And this is a very activist adaptation of A Red Carol. And yes, you're right. I'm an actor in this performance, and I'm also the costume designer and costume fabricator. And that's kind of what happens at the Mime Troupe. We all wear many, many hats.
So before we get into the show itself, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the San Francisco Mime Troupe.
Okay, well, you know, there were dinosaurs back then. It was a long time ago. So I came into San Francisco in about 1986, traveling from Canada with a horse-drawn theater company called the Caravan Stage Company.
Ooh, okay.
And that was a story in itself, but some of the Mime Troupe members came to see our show. We also did outdoor theater. We set up a tent that could seat about 500 people and did a political show about environmental issues called Coyotes.
Okay.
And they came to see the show, and I was asked to audition for a remount of Dragon Lady's Revenge, which was happening in 1986, I believe. And so I auditioned, and at that time, I had a great time working with the Mime Troupe, and I thought, well, that would be it. I would just get to do this one show, and then I stuck around and helped to build props, and just kind of hung around to see if there was any help that needed to be done. And eventually, maybe a year later, I got asked to join the collective, after I did my second show with the Mime Troupe, which was called Ripped, which was in 1988,
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
As an anniversary of the Summer of Love, 1968. And it was about Rip Van Winkle, but he was an old hippie who had, like, tripped and fell asleep.
Did too much LSD
and woke up to what was at that time the contemporary world. So anyways, I got asked, the first time they asked me to join the collective, I actually said, well, no, I don't think so. I don't know what I'm going to be doing 2 years from now. And that was, there was a commitment of 2 years. And back when I was 26, 2 years just seemed like forever. So I stuck around, though, and was asked again a year later. And I, at that point, I felt like, okay, I can commit some time here. And so I said yes. And then it's turned into 35 years or so that I have been here.
Wow.
I know, time flies.
So I want to go back to, so you came from Canada in a horse-drawn show, which you said was a story in and of itself. I want to hear that story.
Oh, okay. Well,
I am not Canadian, but I joined a Canadian theater company called the Caravan Stage Company.
Mm-hmm.
And they originate in Armstrong, BC, British Columbia.
Okay.
But I joined the tour like right at the top of the United States. They started in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
but then came down the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And ended up in San Jose.
Okay.
So I joined in the West Coast leg of the Coyotes tour, and we traveled with 5 Clydesdale drawn wagons.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember how many light horses, but we basically stopped traffic all the way down the coast.
That's awesome.
And
go
camped
on.
Out in tents.
Uh-huh.
Drew up the wagons in a circle, put up a tent over top, and did a show. Our lights were run by solar and batteries that were charged by horse-drawn wagon.
Uh-huh.
Like, throughout the day, they were charged up with the turning of the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a pretty magical experience. But I got a taste for doing political theater, and also for bringing theater to the people,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to going into a fancy theater and doing a show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mind you, I'm all for doing theater in fancy performance
sure.
spaces. I love doing that too.
Yes,
but
you want to do it all.
Time, yeah, but you know, it's like when I was, I mean. You can do anything when you're young, including mm-hmm. like sleeping in a tent every night and
right.
throwing a 100-pound harness on a Clydesdale horse and
right.
then driving a wagon for 8 hours that mm-hmm. day and then setting up a stage and doing a show. Same thing with, you know, so the mime troupe was a familiar kind of routine
mm-hmm.
because we do that too. It's really important that we work together, sweat together, do art together, and that's part of what creates camaraderie and a family, I believe, a theater family.
Okay. And so you're passing through San Francisco, and they see you, and the rest is history.
They came to see me, and, yeah, I auditioned. I made the cut. But I was going to school at the University of Iowa, and the thought of going back to another Midwestern winter at that moment was not really savory.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I was like, well, okay, we'll just try this for a little while. You know, it's like, I'll go back to grad school later.
Mm-hmm.
But I got hooked by the Bay Area and fell in love with the Bay Area and its people and its culture, which keeps changing.
Sure.
But I guess everything does.
Mm-hmm.
And met my husband here and had a kid, and we're lucky enough to be able to buy the last 400 square foot house in the city.
Wow. So, that's small.
So, yeah. I kind of have made my home here and been a great thing, and I just hope that we can keep it an artist-friendly city or make it back into a more artist-friendly city,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which I feel like when I got here in the 80s, it really was a place that nurtured young artists.
You didn't need that much money. I think all over the world, it's just so much harder to do anything creative because there is no support for it.
Absolutely.
But
and,
go ahead. No, I'm just going to say, with that in mind, you're doing A Red Carol. Now, mm-hmm. I know that's it's an adaptation of the Dickens Christmas Carol. So talk a little bit about the show itself and how it differs from the straight Dickens classic.
Okay. Well, in many ways, I feel like Michael Jean Sullivan is being closer to the actual Dickens version
mm-hmm.
than most of the Hollywood versions that we see, and even most of the
stage representations that we see, which are a real, and it, you know, we need feel good shows mm-hmm. in dark times.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Dickens really was making social commentary
yes.
with the original story.
Mm-hmm.
And so our version also advocates for looking at what's really going on in the present time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about class, the class struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And looking around San Francisco and seeing how many unhoused encampments there are and how many people are going hungry in this city, it really feels to me, and this is personal, I can't speak for the whole collective, but I feel like it just really is a time to, you know, highlight those who are struggling in this city and what we can do and to keep hope
mm-hmm.
and to also be able to help those who are in need. And I'll say that the mime troupe, even, you know, we're the ones who are doing this show,
mm-hmm.
but I'll say that all theater companies in the Bay Area, you know, fall into the category of need as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not playing a sad violin here, but we're just really feeling like we need to put up a show with what we've got. And what we've got is our energy, our, you know, okay, I'll say talent,
mm-hmm.
our, you know, what we've been doing for years and years, and what I believe that the Mime Troupe does well, which is to speak out in a creative way and to get people inspired to think about the issues of the time and see if they themselves could be a part of a solution. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we have very little budget.
Sure.
Again, I'm not playing a sad violin, but I'm just saying we are being put in a situation where we have to do what we can to the best of our ability with whatever we have. So as the costumer, I am recycling costumes through our stock of 60 years worth of costumes.
Wow.
And pulling things out and, you know, trying to build a show with what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Sullivan, who is the playwright and the director, is also one of the scenic designers. And he is also pulling from, I mean, luckily we have a vast history of shows and a large prop shed and set storage full of things that we can pull.
Mm-hmm.
So we are practicing recycling and reuse and trying to make it still needs to look like something and it still needs to feel like a show. That in our version, we are people in an unhoused encampment
mm-hmm.
who have chosen to put on Dickens' Christmas Carol as a show.
Oh, I like that.
Or their community.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's for fellow unhoused people or, you know, just to the community at large.
I like that. And this show is slightly different from when you guys do the mime troupe thing in the park. So tell our listening audience where they can find the show.
Yes. So every summer we do our pre-shows in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And for those, it's a free show. We pass the hat at the end,
mm-hmm.
and we ask for donations if people stayed and enjoyed and appreciated the performance. Here we will be doing a show indoors at Z Space in the Mission,
mm-hmm.
Which is at 450 Florida Street at Project Artaud,
mm-hmm.
for those who aren't familiar. And So we don't very often get to do a show indoors with lights. Like usually we have just the bright, wonderful light of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But here we get to have a little bit of subtlety, a little color, to be able to highlight moments and characters. And we'll have our usual live band. We always have a live band for the summer show, too. And they will be indoors. We are not using our body mics, which we usually do out in the parks, because we've found that if you have an amplified band and unamplified actors, it's really hard to get people who are, you know, 1,000 feet away from you in the park,
right,
to be able to hear you. So this time we are having to use good old projection. So luckily, all the actors in the company are seasoned actors who have worked on being able to support and project their voices. But we'll see how all of that goes.
I think it'll go fine. It'll go fine. So who are
some? It's been a long time since we've done it that way. So it'll be fun and it'll be a good challenge.
So who are some of the actors who are going to be in the play?
Well, you will see. And I'll just say, he's doing such a beautiful job of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McShane, who when I first got here in the late 80s, he was already a famous, funny person around the Bay Area. But Mike McShane, although he started off here, I think he's a very famous British TV comedy actor as well.
Okay.
And he now lives in L.A., but he's playing Mr. Scrooge, and he's lovely. And then Valina Brown,
mm-hmm,
longtime collective member as well. And Lisa Hori Garcia, who's also another collective member. Jed Presario, who has been in some of our summer shows, but I had the wonderful pleasure of being able to direct him, or co-direct him with Lisa Hori Garcia, in a show for Word, which just closed yesterday, called The Strange Library. So maybe some of the listeners were able to catch Jed in that, but he will also be in Red Carol.
Okay.
And then another mime troupe, longtime collaborator, Brian Rivera, will also be in the cast. And
hey,
I think that's it. I think there's just the six of us, and myself, Keiko Shimasato Carrero.
Mm-hmm.
And we play, I don't know, I'm doing the costumes, so there's a lot of costumes on the rack.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe there are many characters, probably over 50, but there's only six actors. So that's typical of the mime troupe style.
That's a lot.
Just going to throw this coat off and throw on this hat and glasses, and then you're someone else.
Okay. So for our listening audience, again, when and where for A Red Carol?
Well, the when is coming right up. We are starting previews on December 14th, and we run through December 29th, and we are at Z Space on their, I don't know how to pronounce it, Steindler Stage,
okay,
I believe, which is the big space upstairs at 450 Florida in San Francisco. And for tickets, people can visit zspace.org/Red Carol.
Excellent. And if people want to find out more about what you're doing, how would they go about doing that?
What, me personally?
Yeah.
Or what the mime troupe is doing?
Because I know that a lot of actors also have, you know, they're not just part of one thing, but, you know, sometimes they are, but usually they have little side things that they like to do from time to time.
Totally. And I would be delighted. So, first I'll share the mime troupe's website is www.sfmt.org. And then, if anybody wants to check out my Instagram account, where I post stuff that I'm doing and working on, it's just my name, Keiko Carrero, all one word. And I do have a website, but I don't think it's, I'm working on it right now.
Okay.
So the next, I have my own theater company also.
Called?
Which I co-founded during the pandemic, and that's called Kunoichi Productions,
mm-hmm.
which stands for Woman Ninja Productions.
Ooh, very cool.
And so we have a website as well.
Which is?
And that is www.kunoichiproductions.org. And Kunoichi is spelled K-U-N-O-I-C-H-I Productions. Yeah, and actually we're really excited about producing our version of Pacific Overtures next spring. So keep an eye out for that.
Okay. All right. Well, Keiko Shimosato Carrero, I'd like to thank you so much for being on the show. And I think the show is going to be a raging success. So thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you. And I certainly hope we'll see you there.
I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to try.
So please come on out. I think we're going to have a special mulled wine drink for the show. So come on out, have some mulled wine, and join us out at 450 Florida.
All right. Well, once again, Keiko, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
Okay.
My pleasure.
Thank you. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out A Red Carol. It's at 450 Florida, and you will enjoy it so much. We love our mime troupe.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer and go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Leave a toy for Johnny. Leave a doll for Mary. Leave something pretty for Donnie. And don't forget about Gary. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you. Go straight to the ghetto. You know that I know what you will see, 'cause that was once me. Hit it, hit it. You see mothers and soul brothers. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, oh Lord, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Fill every stocking you find. They know that they need you so. I'm begging you, Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. If anyone wanna know, tell him Hank Ballard told so. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Never thought I'd realize I'd be singing a song with water in my eyes. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Don't leave nothing for me. I've had my chance, you see. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, the soul brother needs a soul. Santa Claus.
James Brown, Santa Claus goes straight
to the ghetto. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I'm your DJ Marilyn, who's about to touch your mind right now. Well, the holidays can be fraught, and they can be particularly trying, and they can really be triggering, and they can sometimes even create mental health traumas and crises and issues for you, or they can just exacerbate things for people who are having, you know, who are already challenged. And mental health can be, you know, dealing with mental health issues can be stigmatizing, but there's a group around that helps to destigmatize it through humor. And one of those groups that is around here for you is called the Mental Health Comedy Hour. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome one of the founders, Christiano. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me. This is really exciting to be here.
Thank you for being on the show today. So let's first talk about how did you start forming the Mental Health Comedy Hour?
Sure. So I am the co-host of Mental Health Comedy Hour. There is also a host, Wonder Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mental Health Comedy Hour is run like a late night talk show. So it's like a Conan O'Brien, Andy Richter type of situation, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be the Andy Richter in this situation.
Okay.
Anyway, so Dave and I are like good friends. We've known each other for a really long time. We both talked about mental health in our regular stand-up sets. And we found that sometimes people were not into it. it can be a little bit jarring, I guess, if you're not expecting to hear jokes about mental health. It's hard to know if, can we laugh at this type of thing. And so Dave decided, like, what if we warn people in advance? And that's how Mental Health Comedy Hour started. So everyone knows we're going to be joking around about our own mental health and talking about, like, kind of the depths of absurdity that you can reach through like depression and anxiety for me. And that's how it got started. We've been doing it since, I believe, maybe late 2018, but definitely 2019. We were doing regular shows.
Okay. So do you find, so you said that when you talked about mental health during your regular sets, people just, they weren't digging it. But now that you've warned them ahead of time, do you, like, what kind of response do you get? Are you getting people who are, like, specifically there for the mental health jokes? Or they're like, okay, I get it. And, like, what's the response?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for, like, regular shows at, like, clubs or bars or theaters, you know, people aren't ready to talk about, like, hey, I'm so depressed. And they're like, whatever. But like with Mental Health Comedy Hour, like people who either have and struggle or and are overcoming mental health tend to be audience members, or people who are just comfortable with kind of these kind of discussions of like maybe, you know, challenging topics, and like maybe more a little bit of a dark humor type of bent to it. And so, yeah, at least now people know what's coming instead of being maybe surprised.
Being blindsided by it. So how, like, what are some of the things that you, like, how do you deliver the jokes so that they land just right?
Sure. So I've had a lot of jokes that are pretty dark, and joking around about my own experiences with suicidal ideation. And so for those, I really have to let the audience know that I'm okay.
Okay.
So it's usually delivered with a huge smile, like a tone that's obviously joking. And, you know, it's usually very physical. And I feel like that all helps kind of relay this message of like, we're joking about it because it's better to people.
Okay. Okay.
So if that makes sense.
So what's an example of a joke that you can tell on the air that that maybe you wouldn't tell in a normal setting, but you can definitely tell in a setting like this where it's where people really get it?
Sure. So there was this joke that I had, again, heads up, it's about suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about, like, let's see, I was like, you know, I, like, something about, like, have you ever been so suicidal that you want to kill yourself, but so full of self-loathing, you don't want to give yourself the satisfaction? And, like, so that is, you know, I mean, that came out of a genuine experience. but, like, that was the kind of stuff that, like, yeah, if you were, like, randomly, you know, checking out, like, a bar show,
mm-hmm.
and you heard me say that, not knowing me, like, expecting yes. it, like, that's not the typical joke material people expect to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot of, like, really tense smiles after that from the audiences. But, like, at Mental Health Comedy Hour, everyone's like, hell yeah, I've been there. Oh, no, is that a swear?
No, okay. Hell is not a swear.
Okay.
You can say hell, yes.
Sweet, okay. Yeah, so. So those are the kind of things that are welcomed, embraced, supported. Mm-hmm. They're in a, you know, everyone's in a safe place where, like, if you've had this experience, you can talk about it. If you
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's a really cool thing.
So what's the structure of the Comedy Hour? Is it just you two, or do you have guest suicidal ideation nights? I mean, like, how does it, like themes? Today it's about misery. Today it's about beautiful people who have problems.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Wow. I will bring that up to Dave to have themes.
Okay.
But typically we just have, like, two other comics. We also interview a mental health professional.
Okay.
And so, and there's some other segments like mental health news. So it is run like a talk show. So there's an introduction at the top. Dave kind of goes over, like, what the show is about and prepares them. Then he or I will do a stand-up comedy set. We'll have another comic. We'll interview the mm-hmm. comic about their mental health. There is mental health news where Dave or I will bring some article from out in the world that talks about mental health, and we'll maybe riff on it for a little bit. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a little intense. Most of the time we try to keep it light.
Sure, sure.
But let's see, the other segment would be interviewing a mental health professional. And I say mental health professional because we've had, like, patient advocates as mm-hmm. well as, like, psychiatrists and therapists.
Oh, very good.
And, like, psych nurses and, like, all sorts of people part of the, you know, seeking help, medical treatment for mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's usually another comic, and then Dave and I will, or I will close out the show. And so that is the run of show.
Love it.
And, you know, I don't know if this is unsurprising to folks, but there's a lot of comics that talk about mental health.
Mm.
We are not a mentally well bunch.
Oh. So I guess my question is, do you ever have members of the audience who come up and tell you a show which, you know, to other people might sound horrifying, but the two of you are just laughing about it?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, like, people, like, coming up, like, sharing the experience, sharing, you know, their experiences as it relates to, like, something that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, like, we've talked to comics about a whole range of mental health disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I imagine people are able to talk to them. There's this one cool thing that happened where I don't know how they found out, but someone was in the middle of kind of a mental health crisis,
mm-hmm.
or their friend was in the middle of a mental health crisis. They looked up something fun to do, and they saw our show.
Ah.
And they came to our show, and they just got a lot out of it.
Oh, that's great.
At the time, I was talking about, like, how I've gone through EMDR.
What's EMDR?
I got to answer their questions about EMDR.
What's EMDR?
I always forget. It's something eye movement, something.
Okay.
It's like this therapy. It's kind of like, it's a form of therapy.
I'm going to look it up.
Let me see. I'm looking it up right now. It's eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing.
Wow.
Right. So it's like this thing. Not a lot of people do it, but, like, there are people out there. The way it was explained to me is that it's connecting the left and right sides of your brain through the eye movement. And so you talk about these really difficult topics, and then you do these, like, eye movement things,
uh-huh.
and really by magic, it gets better. Like, it really did make a meaningful difference in a lot of the things that, like, when I thought about them, it would be, like, very emotionally disruptive. And so, yeah, I used to talk about that on stage. And this person had questions. We collect resources from the mental health professionals that we interview. And so we were able to, in real time, give this person, like, you can call this, you can go to this website if you're, you know, looking for sliding scale. These guys do sliding scale. And it was just really cool. Like, it really was evident that we are doing something more meaningful than just, like, having a good time.
Yeah.
And, and we genuinely help somebody.
I know. That's great. And this is my first time hearing about EDMR or EMDR. I think that's amazing. I like the fact that that person went and they got... They learned things that maybe helped get them out of that crisis. So that makes me super duper happy. Like, do you ever...
Yeah, like they were just looking for something to laugh at and they got resources, which is cool.
Do you ever have... Are the mental health professionals ever do laugh? Or is it or do they feel like, oh, I still feel it's a little bit disrespectful to laugh about these things?
No, you know, the mental health professionals are actually very encouraging of the shows, of joking, of not making fun, but like of you know, kind of sharing this experience as something funny and positive.
Right.
It's very humanizing. You know, I mean, not to be super cheesy with it, but laughter is medicine.
It is cathartic, yes.
It really is kind of... For me, it really is a sign that I have processed something enough that I can talk about it in a way that, like I'm more in control and like, I, like the power is back in my hands rather than in the experience or the feeling.
Right, right.
And so I think that this, many mental health professionals were like, yeah, this is really cool. You know, it is destigmatizing.
Okay. So you do this every month. So do you do it a specific day of the month? When is the next time it's happening? How do they get tickets? Do they need to get tickets in advance or can they show up? These are all questions that I know people have.
Love to answer these questions. Mental Health Comedy Hour is monthly. It's every second Friday.
Okay.
So that means the next show is Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
Ba-ba-bum. Yeah.
That'll be a good one.
And I'm looking forward to it. I wonder if we can talk about superstitions and stuff. Anyway, every second Friday, 8 o'clock at All Out Comedy Theater in Oakland.
And where's
that? It's on Telegraph and 27th.
Okay.
Tickets are on sale on Eventbrite. We're pretty easy to find. Mm-hmm. Or you can buy tickets at the door.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. We really just want everyone to come.
Okay. And if people wanted to find out more about Mental Health Comedy Hour or more about what you guys are doing in general, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, Mental Health Comedy Hour is on all social media platforms. You can follow us at MH Comedy Hour on Instagram and it used to be Twitter. What is it, X? we also have a Facebook page. I think it's just Mental Health Comedy Hour. And we do have a website. It's under Wonder Dave's website. So it's a page under, I think it's teamwonderdave.com. Ooh, don't quote me on that one, but you can find it. We try to put ourselves everywhere people are looking.
Okay. And the name of the show is Mental Health Comedy Hour. Christy Ono, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today and also so much for doing what you guys are doing to help destigmatize dealing with mental health issues.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been really cool.
All right. Okay, people of Earth, if you or someone you know is having mental health issues or, want to make it easier and more accessible, go check out Mental Health Comedy Hour. It's the second Friday of every month, so that means that it's this Friday, the 13th. It's time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford. It'll be pleasuring your ear hole. So I'm going to leave you with this song from the soundtrack of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It's called Fit Hot Guys Have Problems Too. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
What people think when they see us.
That we're so hot, it's insane.
Hey, hey, hey.
When we exit a pool, we do it in slow motion. But that don't mean we can't complain.
Cause fit hot guys have problems too. Don't look at us, we're not dancing for you. This is our quiet, personal time to reflect. We both have almost no body fat, but we're too bummed out to talk about that. I know we look so much better than you, but fit hot guys have problems too.
Everyone is at our sexual mercy. Be them a mister or miss. But when we're down on our knees, no one has sympathy. Because they only see this.
And this.
And this.
And this.
And this.
And this.
And this.
But what about this? Cause fit hot guys have problems too. Don't look at us, we're not dancing for you. It's just hard to process emotions with our clothes on, clothes on, clothes on, clothes on. Our pecs are perfect, but we have bad days. So don't objectify us with your male and female gaze. We have childhood traumas just like you. Cause fit hot guys have problems too. Fit hot guys have problems too.
Don't look at us, we're not dancing for you.
Leave us alone, we have to twerk out our sad. We're expressing our pain through the art of dance, but we'll express so much better without these pants. There's so much pressure when you're a fit hot guy. So just let us ugly cry. Let us ugly cry.
'Fluoxetine.
Citalopram, citalopram.
Take once a day.
'Fluoxetine, 'Fluoxetine, 'Fluoxetine.